Good morning, this is Pastor Jesse, and this is Thursday morning, April 2nd, and it is a very snowy and cold morning, and I just want you to know, those of you that are in the midst of calving, I'm praying for you. I know that you're out there in the elements trying to make sure that your new calves are okay, and just taking care of your herd. And your livestock, so thankful for your hard work. You are very important, especially as we think of our nation and what's going on. You guys are working diligently to keep food on the table, and I so appreciate that. Just want you to know that that my prayers are with you this morning and thankful for you. If you've been following my devotionals, you probably have noticed that I haven't put any up for the last 2 or 3 days, and it's not because I haven't tried. I have sat down multiple times in my office wanting to share with you, and then just feeling like I'm stuck, and you know, there's conflict in my own heart as to what to say and how to say it, and trying to be encouraging and yet straightforward and sensitive to the multiple thoughts and feelings that people are having. And this morning, as we read our psalm for this morning, Psalm 49, it really struck a tone in my heart with a lot of what we're facing, and I've come back to this several times, and that is fear. And there are many different angles of this fear at this point in the history of our country and of our world, and there's no way I could enumerate all the ways that people are fearful, but in my mind there's at least three, and one is a fear of the coronavirus and potentially death, which is a real and a legitimate fear. Another is a fear of the crashing of our economy and a looming, if it doesn't turn around, a potential recession, if not a depression, and we have no idea what to say about that in terms of an ultimate solution. And a third that I think is also out there and is something that we should say is that there is a fear of the overreach of the government during this time, of taking advantage of a health crisis for their own political ends. And I've seen this, you know, not just in our country, but throughout the world. And so there's that whole gamut, and all of those have come up at one point or another in my own heart. I'm sure in your heart as well. And I think it's fair to say that in our three small congregations, we have people that in each one of those areas, one or the other of those is predominant in their thinking. And so I just come back to what I have titled this devotional series, that God is sovereign and good, that He is in control of all of these things, and we cannot give ourselves to fear. As Christians, as those that know Christ, that we are sure of our salvation, that we have trusted in Christ alone, not in anything that the world has to offer, but we're trusting in Christ alone for our eternal destiny. We're trusting in the one who is the conqueror over sin and over death. And Psalm 2 that we studied before says that He is over all kings. We know that every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And so I say to myself, and I say to us as a church family, we need not fear. It's easy. it's easy to give ourselves over to fear, and it's a tendency that we each have. And I just want to encourage you during this time. That the last sermon that I preached when we were together from 1 Peter, we finished with 1 Peter 5, verses 6 and 7, which read, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you." And I don't want to take verse 7, the casting all your anxieties, out of context, because it relates directly to verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you. Those two go hand in hand together. There is no doubt that we have anxieties. That's why Peter says, casting all your anxieties. He doesn't deny that we're going to have anxieties, that we're going to have fears, but he tells us what to do with them. We're to, like picking up a rock, we're to cast them on him. We're to throw them on him. And I think I shared the illustration of throwing a blanket or a saddle onto the back of a horse or of a donkey, that you cast it on him because he cares for us. He's strong enough, going back to verse 6, under the mighty hand of God. He is the Almighty One. He is the one that is able to handle everything that's going on in our world. The virus, the economy, the government, everything. He's got it all. And so we're to humble ourselves. We certainly, it's right to take precautions. That's the right thing to do. And we have chosen as a church to follow the guidelines, to not have services. And that's right for us to do, to honor the government and to follow those guidelines so that we show love to our neighbors. And so we take those precautions for the safety of those around us. We also, it is right to speak up and say that some of the overreach of government that is happening is wrong, as it goes against the Constitution of our United States of America. It's right for us to say that, to speak the truth in love. It's right for us to call out a warning that our economics are in turmoil. It's right to speak the truth. It's never right to cover up the truth. We can't say one is of greater priority than the other. There's not one or the other, but each one of these are important things. But here's the issue. God is the one who's in control. No matter how many precautions we take, no matter how much we speak the truth in love, we are not going to ultimately change these things. Yes, God can use us in our sphere of influence, but we are to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. What does that say? It says that God is the one who is in control, and I can trust him. Therefore, I cast all my anxieties upon him. I don't hold on to some because it gives me some sort of comfort or something that I can have a bully pulpit upon, something that I'm passionate about. I know we all have those things, but we are to trust God, that he is the one that's in control. And so, in light of all that, the Lord in his providence gave us Psalm 49 this morning. And I want to read that for us. And then I want to read a part of the next chapter in our book, A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23, which is so appropriate during this time. But first, listen to Psalm 49. "Hear this, all peoples. Give ear, all inhabitants of the world. Both low and high, rich and poor together, my mouth shall speak wisdom, the meditation of my heart shall be understanding. I will incline my ear to a proverb, I will solve my riddle to the music of the lyre. Why should I fear in times of trouble, when the iniquity of those who cheat me surrounds me? those who trust in their wealth and boast of the abundance of their riches. Truly no man can ransom another or give to God the price of his life, for the ransom of their life is costly and can never suffice, that he should live on forever and never see the pit. For he sees that even the wise die, the fool and the stupid alike must perish, and leave their wealth to others. Their graves are their homes forever, their dwelling places to all generations, though they called lands by their own names. Man in his pomp will not remain. He is like the beasts that perish. This is the path of those who have foolish confidence, yet after them people approve of their boasts. Like sheep, they are appointed for Sheol. Death shall be their shepherd, and the upright shall rule over them in the morning. Their form shall be consumed in Sheol with no place to dwell. But God will ransom my soul from the power of Sheol, for he will receive me. Be not afraid when a man becomes rich, when the glory of his house increases. For when he dies, he will carry nothing away. His glory will not go down after him. For though while he lives, he counts himself blessed, and though you get praise when you do well for yourself, his soul will go to the generation of his fathers, who will never again see light. Man in his pomp, yet without understanding, is like the beasts that perish. A good reminder in this psalm of the brevity of our lives, of the fact that all men will die, all people will die, that it doesn't matter how much money you have, it doesn't matter how poor you are, it doesn't matter your station in life, if you own land or if you don't, the great leveler is death. And so, man in his pomp will not remain. He is like the beasts that perish. And so, those who trust in the Lord need not fear man or the ravings of man. But verse 15, but God will ransom my soul from the power of Sheol, for he will receive me. If your soul has been ransomed by God, you have nothing to fear. You need not fear the coronavirus. You need not fear the economy. You need not fear the government. You need not fear death itself, because God holds you in his hand and you will be with him forever. And so let us not fear. Let us not be entrapped. That's what Satan would love to have happen to us, that we are trapped, we are imprisoned in fear. I want to read the next phrase from Psalm 23 and the first half of the next chapter, A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23 by Philip Keller. The title of the chapter is the next phrase, He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Philip Keller writes, the strange thing about sheep is that because of their very makeup, it is almost impossible for them to be made to lie down unless four requirements are met. Owing to their timidity, they refuse to lie down unless they are free of all fear. Because of the social behavior within a flock, sheep will not lie down unless they are free from friction with others of their kind. If tormented by flies or parasites, sheep will not lie down. Only when free of these pests can they relax. Lastly, sheep will not lie down as long as they feel in need of finding food. They must be free from hunger. It is significant that to be at rest, there must be a definite sense of freedom from fear, tension, aggravations, and hunger. The unique aspect of the picture is that it is only the sheepman himself who can provide release from these anxieties. It all depends upon the diligence of the owner whether or not his flock is free of disturbing influences. When we examine each of these four factors that affect sheep so severely, we will understand why the part the owner plays in their management is so tremendously important. It is actually he who makes it possible for them to lie down, to rest, to relax, to be content and quiet and flourishing. A flock that is restless, discontented, always agitated and disturbed, never does well. And the same is true of people. It is not generally known that sheep are so timid and easily panicked that even a stray jackrabbit suddenly bounding from behind a bush can stampede a whole flock. When one startled sheep runs in fright, a dozen others will bolt with it in blind fear, not waiting to see what frightened them. One day a friend came to call on us from the city. She had a tiny Pekingese puppy along. As she opened the car door, the pup jumped out on the grass. Just one glimpse of the unexpected little dog was enough. In sheer terror, over 200 of my sheep, which were resting nearby, leaped up and rushed off across the pasture. As long as there is even the slightest suspicion of danger from dogs, coyotes, cougars, bears, or other enemies, the sheep stand up ready to flee for their lives. They have little or no means of self-defense. They are helpless, timid, feeble creatures whose only recourse is to run. When I invited friends to visit us after the Pekingese episode, I always made it clear that their dogs were to be left at home. I also had to drive off or shoot other stray dogs that came to molest or disturb the sheep. Two dogs have been known to kill as many as 292 sheep in a single night of unbridled slaughter. Ewes, heavy and lamb, when chased by dogs or other predators, will slip their unborn lambs and lose them in abortions. A shepherd's loss from such forays can be appalling. One morning at dawn, I found 9 of my choicest ewes, all soon to lamb, lying dead in the field where a cougar had harried the flock during the night. It was a terrible shock to a young man like myself, just new to the business and unfamiliar with such attacks. From then on, I slept with a .303 rifle and flashlight by my bed. At the least sound of the flock being disturbed, I would leap from bed and, calling my faithful collie, dash out into the night, rifle in hand, ready to protect my sheep. In the course of time, I came to realize that nothing so quieted and reassured the sheep as to see me in the field. The presence of their master and owner and protector put them at ease as nothing else could do, and this applied day and night. There was one summer when sheep rustling was a common occurrence in our district. Night after night, the dog and I were under the stars, keeping watch over the flock by night, ready to defend them from the raids of any rustlers. The news of my diligence spread along the grapevine of our backcountry roads, and the rustlers quickly decided to leave us alone and try their tactics elsewhere. He maketh me to lie down. In the Christian's life, there is no substitute for the keen awareness that my shepherd is nearby. There is nothing like Christ's presence to dispel the fear, the panic, the terror of the unknown. We live a most uncertain life. Any hour can bring disaster, danger, and distress from unknown quarters. Life is full of hazards. No one can tell what a day will produce in new trouble. We live either in a sense of anxiety, fear, and foreboding, or in a sense of quiet rest. Which is it? Generally, it is the unknown, the unexpected, that produces the greatest panic. It is in the grip of fear that most of us are unable to cope with the cruel circumstances and harsh complexities of life. We feel they are foes which endanger our tranquility. Often our first impulse is simply to get up and run from them. Then in the midst of our misfortunes, there suddenly comes the awareness that He, the Christ, the Good Shepherd, is there. It makes all the difference. His presence in the picture throws a different light on the whole scene. Suddenly things are not half so black, nor nearly so terrifying. The outlook changes and there is hope. I find myself delivered from fear. Rest returns and I can relax. This has come to me again and again as I grow older. It is the knowledge that my master, my friend, my owner has things under control, even when they may appear calamitous. This gives me great consolation, repose, and rest. Now I lay me down in peace and sleep, for Thou, God, keepest me. It is the special office work of God's gracious Spirit to convey this sense of the Christ to our fearful hearts. He comes quietly to reassure us that Christ Himself is aware of our dilemma and deeply involved in it with us. And it is, in fact, in this assurance that we rest and relax. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound, that is, a disciplined mind. 2 Timothy 1:7. The idea of a sound mind is that of a mind at ease, at peace, not perturbed or harassed or obsessed with fear and foreboding for the future. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. I will stop there and pick it up next time. One other anxiety, and I've shared with you that I've kind of spanned the gamut of those three that I shared before, but one other that I have in my own heart as your shepherd, so to speak, is for your own souls. I've had these anxious thoughts of what is going to happen to our people during this time. But I was reminded that I am merely the under shepherd, and Christ is your shepherd. And so I have great confidence in the great shepherd, that he is shepherding your souls in ways that only he can do by the power of the Spirit and by his word. It is very unfortunate and sad that we can't be together on a regular basis. But I have confidence in our great God that he is shepherding your souls. And I pray that you will continue to run to him, the great shepherd, during this time of need. God bless you.